BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Our program today is not going to have so much news and information as such as to current happenings, but I hope today's program is going to leave you thinking about our topic today and thinking about even the state of where things are in the Christian home today, as I'm asking the question, how are we at passing biblical truth to our children? You know, we look at the things that are going on in society today, and it's greatly concerning. I actually came across a quote today I'd like to have you think about, and it's this. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Could I repeat that? If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. And indeed, we think of the influence that the world is having upon our young people today. Many are being impacted educationally. Many are being impacted through the entertainment media that is by large leftist and anti-God. You see what Hollywood is producing. You see the lures that are there through the downloads available. Many are being impacted by the music and musicians and their viewpoints. Many are being impacted through the gaming industry and social media as well. How are we at passing biblical truth to our children? I so often hearken back to Joshua 24, verse 15, where Joshua made that bold declaration to the people, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We stop there, but let's consider further what this passage says. "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people that through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." That was the people's response. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." The people said, "We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done your good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And Joshua said, "Now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." And we say amen to that, and we move on. But folks, we don't have to go too much further in Scripture, because when we get to the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." That's after Joshua died. And listen to this. "And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." The people said, "Joshua, we're going to follow the Lord. He's the one we're going to serve." And next thing we know, we have a generation that does not know God, nor the works which he had done. I go back to that quote, "If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to." As we have seen the influences of this world taking a hold upon this generation today, I'm thankful not all, but it's happening by and large, as many are being impacted through education, whether it be in the college level and below, whether it's through textbooks of any sort, whether it's through the entertainment media, the musicians and the viewpoints that they express. Many watch the various awards that were given out and the leftist statements that are made by musicians. We see even those that are being led astray, even through those in certain sporting events as well. We think of the gaming industry and social media. But there arose a generation after the people had committed, we're going to follow God, we're going to serve Him. Well, folks, we've got to be proactive in how we do that with our children. This headline caught my attention a couple weeks ago from WND.com. And here's the headline, average parent spends just 5 hours face-to-face with their kids, not per day, per week. This was a study that came out of London. The concept of a close-knit family is quickly becoming an antiquated notion. A recent survey of 1,000 British parents found that the average parent spends a mere 5 hours per week communicating face-to-face with their children. More than half of surveyed moms and dads with children under the age of 18 said they feel distant from their kids. In all, 43% blame their measly family time on their kids spending too much time in front of the television, with another 51% saying their kids spend too much time in their bedrooms. Another 44% said their familiar disconnect is a result of their kids logging inordinate amounts of time on their phones during traditional family time in the evening. The study commissioned by Cadbury Heroes also found that the average youngster starts to really avoid his or her parents around the age of 13. A significant 73% of respondents said their relationship with their children really changed once their sons and daughters became teenagers. And folks, this is a time when these young people need us so very badly. Again, more than half of surveyed moms and dads with children under the age of 18 said they feel distant from their kids. Nearly half, 46% of surveyed parents said they only talk to their kids for a maximum of 4 hours each week. Meanwhile, 54% said they would love to spend more time with their children. How are we at passing on biblical truth to our children if we're not spending time with them? If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Study finds also reports, according to the C.S. Mott Children's Hospital National Poll on Children's Health, roughly 9 in 10, 86% of surveyed parents say they believe teens today are spending too much time playing video games. The result consisted of 963 parents with at least one child between the ages of 13 and 18. Among the poll's other results, one finding that sticks out is the revelation that many parents with children who spend excessive time gaming seem to have convinced themselves that their kids' habits aren't any worse than their peers. Among parents who reported their teen plays video games every day, 54% say their teen does so for over 3 hours on a daily basis. Friends, that is more time that they have with mom and dad. Of that group, only 13% believe that their teen spends more time gaming than their friends or classmates. 78% think their child games less than their peers. Is that what our standard should be? What other kids are doing? How much time other kids get with their games? Well, they get 4 hours. I'll be a good parent if I allow my child to only have 3.5 hours in front of a video game. It's also clear from the poll's results that teenage boys tend to play more video games than girls. Over 3 hours each day on video games. Most polled parents believe their teens' video game habits get in the way of more important aspects of their life. In all, 46% say video games get in the way of family time, commitments. 44% say gaming stops their teen from finishing homework. 33% have seen their children stop socializing with non-gaming friends. 31% say their teen has stopped participating in extracurricular activities because of video games. Although many parents believe video games can be good for teens, they also report a number of negative impacts of prolonged gaming, Dr. Freed explains. Parents should take a close look at their teens' gaming behavior and set reasonable limits to reduce harmful impacts on sleep, family, and peer relationships and school performance. Nearly half of polled parents actively try to set limits on their teens' gaming. Parents of teens ages 13 to 15 were found to be especially likely to utilize the content ratings placed on video game packaging to help them decide if a particular game is appropriate for their teen. These parents are also more likely to encourage their teen to play with friends in person instead of online and to prohibit video gaming in the teen's room. Other common strategies used by parents to limit their teen from gaming too much include encouraging different activities, 75%, setting gaming time limits, 54% of parents, creating incentives to stop gaming, 23%, and hiding gaming equipment consoles, 14%. Now, I found that very interesting about the number of parents and talking about their children and the amount of time spent on video games. But then let's take a look at the other side of the equation. A common stereotype, this is also from study finds coming out of New York, a common stereotype these days is concerned parents demanding their children or teen put down their smartphones for some quality family time. Well, surprisingly, a new survey of 2,000 U.S. parents of school-aged children ages 5 to 18 has revealed that half of respondents have been asked by their own child to put their phones away. 62% of surveyed parents admitted they spend too much time on their phones while in the presence of their children. The survey commissioned by Child Play Foundation, the Genius of Play, also found that a staggering 69% of parents feel addicted to their smartphones. In fact, most parents are so enthralled with their pocket-sized devices that they only spend 24 minutes per day with their children as they do with their phone. On average, respondents spend 2 hours and 17 minutes on their phone each day and 2 hours and 41 minutes of screen-free time with their children on a daily basis. Despite the excessive amount of time many parents spend on their phones, 74% of respondents reported frequently worrying that their child spends too much time in front of the screens. Interestingly, while moms and dads are often concerned by their children's use of smartphones and tablets, the majority also said that those devices are essential parenting tools. In all, 83% of respondents said that the screens and technology are necessary to raise a child in today's day and age. At the end of the day, though 83% still believe it's important to get together as a family and spend some time together without any screens. Whether you have a 2-year-old or a 14-year-old, it's important that all children experience various forms of play to stimulate their growing bodies and minds, said Ken Sider, the EVP of Marketing Communications at the Toy Association, the organization behind the Genius of Play, in a statement. Of course, playing on devices can make up some of that playtime, but parents should be mindful of the balance. About 8 in 10 parents believe that they should have a better relationship with their kids if the whole family spent less time on their phones. If that were to happen, a respondent said they would use the extra time to start a hobby with their children, 56%, play together, 54%, or go outside for an activity, 54%. Interesting. Oh, we can flash all these numbers around. But I'd like to ask, how are we at passing biblical truth to our children? And the amazing aspect is that there is more time being spent on screens today. The average parent, and again, that was a UK study, just to 5 hours of face-to-face time with their kids per week. And a number of parents saying that their children are playing video games, screen time, 3 or more hours per week. How are we at passing biblical truth to our children? If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. I'm going to come back and just share some additional scripture on this very issue. And I want you to think, I want you to evaluate, I want you to look at your home as to how you are doing at passing biblical truth onto your children. We'll have some more thoughts on this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where is the Garden of Eden today?
Chris, we don't know. The location of the Garden of Eden is forever lost. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God placed an angel to guard the entrance so that no one could go there again. There is no such place on earth that's guarded by a fearsome angel. The Bible does tell us, however, that in the days of Noah, the world was totally restructured by that great flood. All landmarks of the previous world were destroyed. The earth was completely restructured by that flood, so we wouldn't expect to find the Garden of Eden. While the names of the rivers that are given in Genesis do correspond to modern-day river names, they don't actually correspond to any known rivers. Chris, let's go back to Genesis and think carefully about what it teaches there.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Our topic today is one that requires a little bit more soul-searching than just becoming knowledgeable of some of the latest news and events and matters taking place in our society today, and it's asking that question, how are we at passing biblical truth to our children? It's not what the Joneses are doing, you know, the next-door neighbors or other families in our church, the deacons' kids, the pastors. What are we doing? How are we at passing biblical truth to our children? And I'm hearkening back to the quote that I began the program with today, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Is it any wonder that we are in a society today where we are? We saw, as we went back to the time of Joshua, that declaration is for me and my house will serve the Lord, and the people agreed. And just a short time after, we saw another generation raised that knew not the Lord, nor the works that he had done for Israel. How critical it is for us. And friends, as we look at the pages of Scripture itself on this important topic, we see many biblical principles come through. Let's hearken back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, where we have that famous passage, Hear, O Israel, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Yeah, that's the role of the parent, to talk about the things of God. Teach our children how to love God with our whole being, and then to talk about them, and teaching them diligently. Teaching them when we talk, when we sit in our houses together, when we go for a walk or driving down the road with them, when we go to bed at night, when we get up in the morning, that they know what's important to us in our lives as we honor God through what we say, what we do, how we act in life. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 also says, Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teaching them diligently. Yes, not only to our children, but to our grandchildren as well. Many of you are familiar with the proverb. It's recorded in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I often think also of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to young Timothy, as he called to remembrance in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that is the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. You see, Timothy was taught those things. He was taught them by a mother and a grandmother who invested their lives in him. And then later in that same epistle, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had a godly mother and grandmother that did just that. How are we at passing on biblical truth to our children? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to do that by training them, instructing them what God has said in his word. And folks, when we talk about all the issues that are going on in this world today, we think about the matter of abortion, what God has said about life and God being the author of life. Are we teaching our children on these issues? We have children that are being thrust into society today that doesn't know what male and female is anymore. One day you can be male, one day you can be female. Folks, that's not true according to God's word. Are you teaching them from God's word what he has said about this issue, that God created male and female? You're not both. How are we at passing on biblical truth to our children? when we see all that's going on in this world today and matters pertaining to socialism and all the issues going on in life, how are we at passing on biblical truth to our children? Of course, the importance of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that is teaching and training them, and then doing so, and the aspect of discipline to see that that instruction is carried forth. 3 John, also verse 4, says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Is that what gives you joy as a parent as well, to have your children or your grandchildren walk in truth? We think about all the influences of this world today that our young people are being bombarded with. And much of that is coming to them on the screen, you know, and coming through social media aspects. Now, friends, we can use technology for good. It can be used for evil as well. How are we at passing biblical truth to our children? If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Today on Crosstalk, I'm opening our phone lines here today, as I want you to answer the question that with all of these influences, how are you at passing on biblical truth to your children? What are you doing to have personal time with your children? What are you doing in your home to teach biblical truth? What are you doing to communicate biblical truth to your children or to your grandchildren, to this next generation? Our phone number today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Friends, it's becoming more and more difficult today to distinguish the worldly home from a Christian home today because we have neglected passing on biblical truth to our children, and they're being raised and directed by a culture that is teaching them not to follow Christ, to hate biblical truth, to hate and reject biblical principles. And I'd like you to think about what is happening within your home. Consider how much screen time do your children have every single day compared to the interaction that you have with them as a parent. How many hours a day, a week, are they spending in video games compared to the amount of time that you have putting forth your life investment into them through what you're teaching and training them and teaching biblical truth? I'd like to hear what you have to say on the issue. Our number again, 800-733-9829. The lines are filled. When you hear somebody discontinue their conversation with us, that will be your opportunity to call. Write down the number, 800-733-9829. We have Jonah calling in from Hartford, Wisconsin. Jonah, you're on the air.
Hello. I just want to say that games are a positive thing. They've been a positive thing in my life. They helped me through some times, and that's all I got to say.
Okay. And Jonah, I'm not saying that there cannot be any positive nature come from it. We have to consider the amount of time that we are putting into that versus the amount of time that we have spiritual input into our lives, the time that we have with parents and family in our lives as well. Thank you for your call. I'm not giving just a broad denouncing all video games that are out there. So take my comments in context. Joyce in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a grandmother and great-grandmother. And when my great-grandson was 4 years old, he came to live with us because of a divorce. And it was then that I got to teach him and tell him about Jesus. And he did accept Christ. He's now 14 years old. He witnesses to his friends. He's allowed to witness in school. And he's got six little brothers and sisters, and he said, Grandma, I tell them about Jesus, and I tell them how that he can live in their heart. I said, you do? He said, somebody has to do it, Grandma. Mm-hmm. And then the last child was born about 4 months ago, and when that baby was a month old, I was holding that little girl, and my great-grandson came and whispered in my ear, I can hardly wait to tell her about Jesus.
Amen.
It matters.
It does.
He plays games, and he has a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's living with us again because of another divorce. Mama's on her third husband and her seventh, going to have her seventh child. And he will carry that on to his little brothers and sisters, even though he doesn't live with them now. He lives with us, and they're out of state. He's not going to forget them, and he's going to tell other people.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joyce. Appreciate your call here today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Again, I am not saying one should not have technology or access to these things. That's not the topic here today. What are we doing on passing on biblical truth to our children? And are we having that influence? Are we measuring how many hours are being spent with video games versus how much time is being spent imparting family relationships and instruction and biblical truth and guidance and family time together to see that family structure in place? Our number, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Janice in Tennessee. You're on the air, Janice.
Oh, hi. Down through the years, I've been told, you know, that we're just supposed to know how to act. Well, that came from my mom several decades ago. Well, what it is, we have to look at Genesis through Revelation to know how to behave in life. And the reason I say that is that, you know, the first sins were committed because of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and going against what God's parameters were for human beings. So I just tell my 25-year-old daughter that, you know, this is where you find answers from Genesis through Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Janice. Teaching biblical truth, so critical. We're going to James in Pensacola, and James, you're on the air.
Hello?
James, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I would just like to encourage my brother concerning the scripture reading that he was talking about, teaching the children and the grandchildren. If we don't teach them, we're going to lose a whole generation of children.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add also that if we don't teach them, the world will teach them. And it's going to be detrimental to the children if the world teach them.
Yeah.
If you love your children, if you love your grandchildren, do as my brother Jim has said. Tell them the scripture. Read them the scripture. Take them to church. Even if they don't learn it as students, take them and teach them. The Bible is right when it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart.
Yeah.
You have to train your children. Please train your children. I don't have no children of my own, but I do have nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Train your children, because if you don't train them, the world will train them.
Hmm.
God bless everyone.
Thank you, James, for your call here today. And certainly, I mean, I looked at these contrast in stories where parents talk about the amount of hours that their children are spending in front of gaming every day. But then also the story about the number of children that are asking mom and dad, would you put down your phone? And asking them to put down their screen time to have that family time here today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll take more of your calls right after the break. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. How are we at passing biblical truth to our children? Call in today. What are you doing to have personal time with your children? How you're communicating biblical truth? How you're passing this on to your children? Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
We live in a depraved world with sin and corruption all around us. There are many temptations to lure us away from our walk with the Lord. How do we stay clean, pure, and righteous in such a time? In Psalm 119, we are reminded of the importance of hiding God's Word in our heart to protect us from succumbing to sin. But memorization is difficult for many. This is why Thomas Meyer, known as the Bible Memory Man, has not only devoted many books of the Bible to memory, but he has also put together the King James Memorization Study Bible, where he breaks up every verse in the New Testament by phrases to assist in the scripture memory process. A helpful appendix also provides a list of important scriptures to memorize from sin to salvation in 10 verses. The Memory Study Bible New Testament is available for a donation of $20 or more by calling VCY 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, our topic today is one that's more on the thought-provoking side, but just consider even when your children come home from school or at the end of you, homeschool at the end of your time, how many are resorting to their bedrooms and closing the door, and you see them pop out for supper time only to return there later because of being tied up in the video gaming that's going on? And then we think about how are we at passing on biblical truth to our children? Is there more than just a hi and good night each day and thanks for the food and out the door and then back to the bedroom or whatever it may be? How are we passing on biblical truth? Let's go right back to the phone lines and let's go to West Union, Ohio. And Tamara, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a Well, something that it bothers me. I was raised Southern Baptist, and it was told to me that God gave us the will to live under any circumstances, and suicide is not a good thing to do, and it's a sin. Now, I'm finding in recent history that even when you go to mental health facilities and counselors and things of that nature.
Tamara, I'd like you to really draw back to our topic today as to how are we passing... Hello, Tamara? Tamara?
Yes.
Please listen. Our topic today is how are we passing biblical truth to our children? I'd like you to comment on that aspect.
Well, they're telling our children in counseling sessions at the schools when they talk about their illnesses, and they may have a debilitating illness that will eventually end in death, and it may suffer with the disease that they have, that suicide is okay. Assisted suicide or suicide itself.
Yeah.
That they'll still go to heaven and everything's
right.
So pathetic.
Yeah, we're talking about the culture. We know what the culture is teaching our kids. What are you doing as a parent? What are we doing as Christian homes to counter that, to teach biblical truth to our children?
Well, I talk to my children about Christ. We read the Bible. We talk about things that are separate. They claim it all over the news and everything else about church and school. They're separate, and they want to separate church from school, and that's fine. And I tell him, you know, we go to church. We talk about the Bible at home. And the things that they're telling you at school are different. And so I make him understand the fact that the things that you need to learn in God's world, God's rules, God's laws are different from man's laws.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what man expects you to do and what man says is okay is different from what God says is okay.
Right, right. And we ought to obey God's laws and follow those, whether we're at school, at work, at home, wherever it may be, and employ those into our lives.
Correct. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you, Tamara. Appreciate your call today. Jesse in Texas, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I was calling because I think that we as a society don't want to humble ourselves unto the Lord. I remember when my kids were small, the Bible says right there in Proverbs 22:6, I think it is, it says train a child. And training a child is not necessarily taking them to church. We used to go to church, or we still do. We still go to church, you know, but we used to have a family devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And on our family devotion, we read the Bible, and we would do like a mini service at the house. We would ask, are you showing our kids what they want to pray for? We would mm-hmm. sing a hymn at the house. And that's really helped them a lot because now they're adults, and they stand for their faith. And now they're in college, and sometimes the teacher tries to tell them something, but they stand for their faith.
Yeah.
And I think some parents ask me, and I'm not saying that I have the perfect kids, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes they get bothered, sometimes they get mad, but I never had a problem where my kids have gotten into arguments between each other. I never had a problem where I had to go to school for a fight or drinking or drugs, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we put the fundamental biblical principles in them. And I think that the phones, we don't carry a phone anymore. What we do is we carry a computer, and it's actually cursed the generation, you know, because they're more interested in playing the games than. And I think it's the parents where we have to step up and have a devotion at the house. And some people sometimes ask me, that, how do I do with my kids? And I tell them, well, I have devotions every night.
Yeah.
And the only night that I didn't have devotions were on Wednesdays because we went to church, and on Sundays because we were at church. But on every other night, we made an effort.
Yeah.
And we stand there, we eat as a family, we hang out as a family. I mean, we have at the house, we do have a PlayStation 3 and a PlayStation 4, but I can't remember the last time my kids played on it. You know, so it's just, they're there, but we really don't, my kids really don't spend time in that.
Jesse, thank you.
So I think that the parents should do that. They should go back to having a devotions, pray as a family, have sing hymns at the house, and I think that will really make a change in each family, and then it will help our society. To have this generation stand up for the Lord. Because
yeah.
That's what's going on. They're not standing for the Lord because we're not teaching them their principles. That's all I wanted to say.
God bless you, Jesse. Thank you for your call. Sean is next in Mount Vernon, Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
You're on the air.
How are you, sir?
Sean, turn your radio down, please.
How are you, sir?
Sean, turn your radio down, please.
I've got it down now.
Great. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to make a comment, sir, on the cell phones and the TVs and all that stuff. They need to be turned completely off. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the TV and the cell phones, but when children get home from school, they need to be taught about God. They need to be taught about all the wrongs the TVs and cell phones has been sending, the bad messages. Jesus is the only way. He's the truth and the life. And if we teach them the right way when they're young, they'll know the ways of the world is wrong. But they cannot keep, if they get on the TVs and the cell phones, it shows gay marriages. It shows, we've even got a president, or we got somebody running for president, a gay man. But when they get on the TVs and all this stuff and see this stuff, it teaches them wrong. It needs to be off the air. But if we teach them the right way when they're little and read the Bible and do the right thing, I believe the children will get over all this bad stuff and love the Lord, and amen, and God bless the whole world. Amen.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for your thoughts on that, Sean. And certainly, I do not believe technology in itself is evil. We use it every single day here through VCY America. That's how we broadcast. That's how we get our program to you. And we praise God for the opportunity to get out podcasts and social media contacts in so many different ways. But it's how we utilize that. Certainly we see the ability of using technology for communicating that which is good and that which is true according to scriptural principles. But there's also, as Sean pointed out, there's much evil that is prevalent throughout social media too. We see what's going on, the sexting and so forth that is just so prevalent, happening to so many today. We've got to teach biblical principles, biblical truth to our children that carries through in how we utilize technology in so many ways as well. Annalise is calling next from Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air, Annalise.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I have a slightly different slant on some of this. I think it's fine to, and I think it's excellent, of course, to read the Bible and be an example to your children, taking them to church so they're around people of a like mind. But I think more than that, it's really important that parents follow what's going on in a child's mind so that they're not observing. Often parents aren't observing the choices, or they're not listening to the choices the children are making. And really, it's terribly important that we follow the choices that a child makes as they go along, because it's by their choices, no matter what they hear, that they're going to become. And if they are really listening and following Christ and the biblical principles or things taught biblically, and those become their choices, the choices of the heart reflect in their character. And that character is made choice by choice by choice. And if that isn't consistent with the Bible, mm-hmm. or if they're turning away in their adolescence or when they go to university, which does happen often, if you know what's going on today, mm-hmm. of course you do, Jim, these choices become the choices of the direction of their life. So as they're growing up, the Holy Spirit will attend when they hear what the parent is reading or the child is reading or hearing in the Word. If that child has a heart for Christ, then their choices will follow what they hear and what they know biblically. But if their hearts turn away, and if they're thinking in their mind, I'm not really interested in this anymore, there's another way of doing things, or what they hear in school that will really teach them, for instance, that even your family is a codependent unit and unhealthy for you, as an adolescent, you don't have to listen to your parents. You can go in your bedroom and slam the door. I've heard many parents say, I'm a teacher, that this is what happens in their home. Mm. And they can't say anything to their children because the child will go back to school and they'll be reported to social services. And in the university, they tell them, for instance, and I know this happens, that, because I'm also a professor, but I don't teach these things, but that your family, especially your parents, are codependent in their marriage. That's a codependent relationship. And if your children are listening to these voices in the university, because after all, they need to learn what they say and put it down in an essay or in a test, that is seeping into their mind. So it's very important mm-hmm. that you make sure that that child is making choices mm-hmm. that will stay with them in and through their adolescence, yeah. in and through their years of university.
And thank you, Annalise. I got to run. I've got a lot of other callers lined up here as well. But the choices are important, and that we can even take them to the scriptures to see, here is a choice that Adam and Eve made. Here are the consequences that came as a result. Here is a choice that this Bible character made. Here are the consequences thereof as well. Thank you for that aspect. Caesar is next in Zanesville, Ohio. You're on the air. Hello, Caesar. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me. Just a couple quick comments. I wanted to say that I teach my children to pray regularly, daily, but I also tell them that God's not a genie. You don't ask for wishes necessarily.
Right.
I tell them that, you ask God to remove your ignorance and sort of show you the kingdom of God, so that you can find meaning in life. And once you find meaning, you'll fortify yourself against all the chaos and suffering that is sort of put on you through. It's sort of an inevitable thing that we're all going to suffer. We're all going to have difficulty. We're going to stray from God and whatnot. But the idea is that if you find that meaning and you sort of walk between the chaos and order, you can make it.
I'm against a break coming up here, Caesar, but it's important that we define what that meaning is in life and that what that meaning is for every life, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, that we do everything to the glory of God. That's where the meaning needs to be and that we communicate. As I mentioned, I'm up against a break. I'll be back here with more calls in just a moment. Let's see, our number 800-733-9829. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Let's think about that issue here today as we'll continue with more calls in 60 seconds.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We continue our series now on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist. As we've been saying, there's nothing wrong with having a debate. But when you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs and find common ground. You can't do that. And when you do that, involved in discourse or dialogue with them, you fall into trap and danger number 8 in our list. You have allowed your cultural Marxist enemy to define the language. You're giving validity to their language, like woke, white privilege, social justice. You're allowing them to control the narrative. You're setting up the conflict. You're walking into a trap. And you're setting yourself up to be marginalized and your values marginalized. And ultimately what you're doing is you're giving legitimacy to their values. You're saying, I'll talk with you and try to find common ground because there is some value to what you believe. And guess what? You have surrendered to the psychological process and submitted yourself to all eight dangers. For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House.
How are we at passing biblical truth to our children? And again, I hearkened even to the first caller that we had today. Said, well, I play video games and I've learned from them. Well, that's great. I'm not saying that's not educational value in some video games. Certainly there's detrimental things in a number of video games that are out there, but this is not a anti-video game program today. It's looking, how are we at passing on biblical truth to our children? What is it that they're being taught even through these games? How are we as parents teaching biblical truth? Are we passing it on? When somebody is 3 to 4 hours a day in front of playing video games and having minutes a day with mom and dad, do you see a disconnect there? As to the lack of biblical truth that's being passed on to our children, and what is family relationship and communication, and how do we respond to the things that are going on in this world? Let's go to Central Point, Oregon, and Karen is calling. Karen, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to caution parents. Don't think just bringing your kids to Sunday school and church is enough and that that's taken care of, because I wish, my girls are in their 30s now, I wish I would have done more at home, because they are not fully following the Lord. So just I don't want people to be thinking if they just make sure they drag them there every week, that'll do the trick.
You're right. You're right. Thank you, Karen. Eddie in Glasgow, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thank you for taking my call. I'll be 66 tomorrow, and I just want to say that it used to be a priority to teach children about the Word of God and about God. I can still remember my elementary principal reading the Bible over the intercom and praying over us. And just to let you know how far we've become, they're trying to pass a House bill right now. I think it's House Bill 267. I can't remember the exact number. But I will tell you this. This House bill makes it mandatory to teach sex education in every single grade of public schools. Now, the enemy's not sleeping. We're the ones, like you said, are distracted.
Yeah.
And the tares are being sowed. The crop's not good. I believe we need to sound the alarm. Thank God for your program. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your call here today. Yeah, the enemy does not take a break. Does not take a break in these things. Let's go to Tom next in Pittsburgh, Kansas. You're on the air, Tom.
Yes, I just want to say I appreciate your program, and listened to it for years. It's helped me very many times. The way I was raised, my parents spent time with us. Of course, I lived in an age where we didn't have a lot of the distractions that are out there today.
Yeah.
But they taught me a lot of things by example, and I found that indispensable in my life later on, even though I went through a period where I wasn't practicing as a Christian. But you know, you could just, the way they lived their life, and they spent time with you, we ate dinner at the table, you know, little things that, you know, we were taught responsibility, we did dishes, we worked around the house and things.
Yeah.
You know, those things are real important, I think, because they build a bond, I think, that you wouldn't have any other way. And so I just remember those things.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Greg is next in Othello, Washington. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So one of the things I find more difficult, especially, is I'm conservative and I'm Christian. And when I'm with other like-minded individuals at family gatherings, for example, there was a conversation when someone was laughing about how the president called someone a dog. And the whole family started laughing. So I have to step in and say, even though we voted for a president and we're conservative and Christian, we have to... That's not correct. We can't engage in that kind of conversation. And our kids are usually around, and so are our nephews. Sorry, I got a little nervous. And then another thing is, I also let my nephews and my kids know that we have to pray for their little Christian brothers and sisters who are locked up in these cages at the border, that even though it's, so they may be coming here illegally, we can't lock these poor little kids up in cages. So, because they're also Christian like they are. So even though we are conservative and Christians and we follow our president's certain values, we have to stand up for what's correct in Christ's eyes and protect these little ones who are at the border.
Greg, thank you so very much. And so what you're saying is taking current events of the day and what you seek to do is to apply biblical teachings to those. Thank you. Pastor Mark in Missouri, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I just wanted to say this. You were asking in terms of passing things on to our kids. I've been a pastor for many years. I'm in my mid-60s. And it's hard to pass on something that you don't possess.
Good point.
I've met so many young people that are not born again, that are in churches, but yet, at the same time, a lot of parents aren't born again.
Yeah.
And they can't understand what the problem is. And, well, the problem is that you can't pass along what you don't possess. If you're not born again, I don't know how you can expect to pass anything along to your children who may not be born again. So yeah. I think the whole thing, the key starts there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, some people would say, well, duh, that's obvious. But I really think that we believe that so many of our kids are born again just because they're in church, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're spiritually regenerate.
You're right, right. Thank you for raising that point. Very important. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Eunice in Boise, Idaho, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. This is Eunice, and I wanted to say that I would highly recommend parents starting very early with teaching biblical principles to their children. Preschool should know the Bible stories and teaching scriptures. We did that with our children, and that God helped us through all the time we were raising them. I'm 86 now, but my children are all serving the Lord wholeheartedly, and their children, they're teaching them the same way. We're teaching them not just the Bible stories, but the principle behind it, how, like you said, to make choices, and if they make wrong choices, they have consequences. Also, we had all of our meals together when the children were home. If they were in school, we made lunches. But parents these days are letting them fall in love with worldly things. And the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things of the world are getting so attractive. But when we raised our children, we didn't have a television, but we were very active in church, and they were very active in reading. And if you have a television, you need to monitor what they're watching.
We do, and I apologize for cutting you off, but I'm completely out of time. Our theme music is closing us out here. Thank you for the call and for understanding here as well. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in the program today. I want us to get us thinking as to, are we passing on biblical truth to our children? I appreciate what Pastor Mark had to say. We have to first have that truth ourselves. But keep in mind, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world would teach them not to.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.